Last year, an ice storm struck a certain community, and because of that ice storm, literally thousands of people were left without power. One family that suffered the loss of power thought that for their first meal of the day, they might do some driving and see if they could find a restaurant that was open and get breakfast. They did drive for several miles, and finally they found an eatery where the lights were on, and it was obvious that traffic was coming in and out of the restaurant. They went in, they were finally seated, and there was eventually a lady that came over. She was the server, and she told the family, "I want you to know that I am not an employee of the restaurant. I will be your waitress, but this is not a place where I work." I don't know if she'd ever done any kind of waitressing or not, but she said, "I'm here with my church group, and we are from another area. We didn't realize the power had gone out, and after we got here, we noticed that the restaurant was overwhelmed with people, so I and my church group went to the management. And we've offered to wait tables to help you get through the rush." The family that went out to eat that day got something that they didn't expect. A lady that perhaps had never waited tables. And as I think about that story, it relates to the lesson in the same way. That is, you've come this morning maybe expecting a Thanksgiving sermon, but you're probably not going to walk away with what you're expecting. It's going to be a little different. A lot of typical Thanksgiving sermons are being preached today, and of course those Thanksgiving sermons, as far as the message is, they're generally designed to help people appreciate the things that they have. A preacher might list various things that we have, transportation and schools and readily available clothing, all those kinds of things. This morning, though, I want to study Thanksgiving from a very different viewpoint. The goal is, I'll tell you this from the outset, the intent is to be grateful for the things in life that we do not experience. To develop some appreciation for the things in life that we do not have to face. Now, the passage this morning that I'm going to use, and this is going to be a rare sermon, in that I'm only going to use one reference this morning. But it's going to come from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16, verses 20 and 21. And this is a place, keeping with the theme of Thanksgiving, where Jesus spoke about food. The Lord says in Luke chapter 16 that there was a fellow who ate well. For this fella, every day, we might say, was for him like Thanksgiving. But then there's a second fella in Luke 16. The first fella who every day was like Thanksgiving for him, we don't have his name, he's simply referred to as a rich man. But the second fella is identified. Jesus says the second individual was named Lazarus. Now there are a lot of details in the account, there's a lot of information in here that we could use, and maybe some of it has been used on other occasions. But this morning I want to focus on just a few key details. Starting with Luke 16, reading verses 20 and 21. "And," he says, talking about the second man, "there was this fellow named Lazarus. He was a beggar. He was laid at his gate, that is the rich man's gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, yea, even the dogs come and licked his sores." Well, Jesus describes this second fellow. He says he was a beggar. And the word beggar is simply a way of saying, it's a way of affirming that this second man was a was a fellow who was very poor. Now in our day and time, it should be no secret that we certainly have some people who are classified as poor. Just a few days ago, there was a man, I'm sure he would have said, "I am a poor man," I assume he was an American citizen, but he talked about how he was poor. This fellow who claimed that he was poor said that he had a pickup truck, but it was pretty rusty. He's said that, he receives a check from the government each month, but the check is less than $1,000 per month. He said, "I've got a cell phone, but it is one of the so-called Obama phones." He said, "I have the ability to work, but my work is not anything that's regular. I just find day jobs and I work from day to day." He said, "My health insurance really is not really health insurance. It's going down to the emergency room and picking up prescriptions as they're available." He pulled out a couple of bottles. I'm assuming that they were from the emergency room or ER had given him a place to get those filled locally for free. And yet, as this man talked about his poverty, as he outlined for me the basics of his life, some might look upon him as a beggar, but he certainly was not as poor as the fellow that we read about in Luke chapter 16. He was not as poor because the fellow I just described had transportation. Oh, it was an old truck. And it was an old truck with a substantial amount of rust. And it's true that he doesn't always have money for gas. But you know, this fellow was able to walk without help. He wasn't like Lazarus. And as I think about Lazarus, Luke 16, verses 20 and 21, this fellow had no transportation. Jesus said this man was laid at the gate of the rich man. The word laid indicates that this fellow had zero mobility. If there had been government disability, Lazarus was someone who surely would have qualified for 100% disability. He was so sick that even if transportation had been available, he wouldn't have been able to have used it. Lazarus, as we look at Luke 16, also lacked when it came to health care. There was no government health care. There were no free prescriptions in Jesus' day and time. Now, in our country, if a person is sick, they may not get the medical care that they want, need, or deserve. But generally, there is some basic free or almost free treatment or doctor available to them. Certain prescriptions we know are provided free or almost free. If a person will seek medical services, there's almost always something, some basic service that they can access. But you know, as we look at Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, what do we find? This man's health care was coming from animals. Luke 16 verse 21 says, the dogs were licking his sores. In addition to commenting on Lazarus' lack of transportation and health care, Jesus also gives us some information about this man's food. Now the man that I described a moment ago, who was driving around in a rusty truck, struggling to come up with gas money, is typically, he's generally able to survive from day to day. With several hundred dollars coming in from the government, he has at least potentially some money to spend on food. That's not what we find when it comes to Lazarus. For Lazarus, there was not going to be any Thanksgiving. There was not going to be a table where he could draw turkey and roast beef or ham from. He wasn't thinking about Thanksgiving in terms of which salad will I prefer? What style of cranberries will I have to eat? He certainly was not thinking about dessert. Lazarus wanted crumbs from the table of the rich man. Luke 16, verse 21. And the idea there, as far as the crumbs, if you've ever given table scraps to a dog or to some other pet, that's the idea. Lazarus would have been satisfied with the table scraps. Now, you might be thinking, well, okay, all of this information, I can understand it, I can see it from the text. But Brad, how does what's been said up to this point connect to the idea of Thanksgiving? Well, that's a good question. And now let me begin, hopefully, to start tying some things together. I'm not aware of anyone who is here bearing the name Smith. So this morning I'm going to introduce us to the Smith family, an imaginary family. Mr. and Mrs. Smith are an imaginary American family, and they're a typical family. The Smiths have two children. And as the Smiths go through life, as they live that average American existence, they do not typically look at their lives in terms of Luke chapter 16. The Smiths, as they go through life, they could look at the information that we just examined from Luke 16, verses 20 and 21, and they could step back and say, God, thank you so much. We're so appreciative that we're not in the set of circumstances like Lazarus had to face with health care and with food, with mobility, and some of the other things. But that's not how the Smith family is looking at their lives. No, this family has food, and they've got transportation. And the Smiths also have health care, though they're not quite satisfied with what they have. In fact, if you were to look at the Smith family, they're not generally content. They're not typically grateful for what their circumstances are. You see, as you look at the Smith family, you find that Mr. and Mrs. Smith each have an automobile. But they realize that their automobiles are by no means new. The car has 110,000 miles on it. The truck is pushing 75,000 miles and it has a bad muffler. The rear defrost, it's wintertime. The rear defrost on the back window of the car doesn't work. Each time they get in, they're reminded of how the seats are torn. As they drive down the road, they see the cigarette burns in various spots of the vehicles. They're always reminded about how poor the gas mileage is on both cars. And as they get into those cars, as they drive down the road, as they go fill it up, it's just one big sigh after another. Rather than rejoice that they do have transportation, when they open the faded doors of their vehicle, they're wondering, how much longer before I can trade off my clunker? When it's time to fill up the gas tank with gas, dissatisfaction sweeps over them. They're thinking, if only my truck could get 20 miles to a gallon. But that's not the way it is. So there's another sigh about how unfair life is for them. One day, while filling up one of their vehicles, the Obama phone rings, And there really is something called an Obamaphone. President Obama didn't come up with it, but it's been renamed that. It's actually the Lifeline Assistance Program. It goes back, I believe, to President Bush. But on the Obamaphone, Mrs. Smith receives a call. But she's got to quickly disconnect because she knows that on her free phone, she only has 250 minutes and soon she'll go over limit. So sigh. I just get 4 hours of talk time a month. And it happens to be Friday. So Mrs. Smith knows that she needs to stop at the bank. So after the gassing up of the car, that's where she goes. And as she's sitting there in front of the teller signing over her paycheck for the account, she thinks about how others make more. How her check is small in comparison to others. Another sign. She never stops to consider how others may be out of work and have perhaps been out of work for more than a year. She goes back to that conversation that she and her husband had last night, thinking that this year is going to be another slim Christmas. Thinking about that conversation that there are a couple credit card bills that they'd hoped to have, that they'd hoped to pay off a few months back, but now the bills have gotten even bigger. And as she thinks about her situation, she never pauses to consider that she's been able to avoid the problem of bankruptcy, like some of her friends have experienced. After she finishes up with the teller, the Obama phone rings again. It's one of the kids saying she needs to be home within 5 minutes to get the kids to the doctor on time. Time for another sigh. They get to the doctor on time, and as the physician evaluates the children, he says that one of the kids needs some additional testing. More medical bills. A big sigh this time. The physician, the doctor, also wants one of the children to consider seeing an out-of-town specialist. And Mrs. Smith knows that that might involve a new loan. When she meets up with her husband that night, there is discouragement. There is bitter discouragement. Another day has come. Another day has gone. And instead of things getting better, it seems like there are just some new issues. Old cars, poor gas mileage, low wages, sparse Christmas plans, new medical bills. Things seem to look pretty bleak. Oh, and don't forget, Thanksgiving Day is coming up this Thursday. How great that's going to be. The Smith family is not really looking forward to Thanksgiving because what do they possibly have to be thankful for? What I have just described is, as far as I can tell, the way that tens of thousands of people, Christians and non-Christians, live and think in America. It's sad to say that. I'd like to think that I'm wrong, but I do not believe that that is the case. I would like to suggest that, by and large, our country is a place where people are not typically grateful for what they have. And even if there are times where we're grateful on what we possess, there's still that gnawing dissatisfaction of what we do not yet have. It might be time for us, as an individual, as a family, and I believe certainly as a nation, to start thinking about thankfulness, appreciation, and gratitude in a new way. In terms of Luke 16, verses 20 and 21, we can look at the topic of thanksgiving or appreciation from the standpoint of the fact that there are some things that we do not have to face. There are some things which we do not experience in life. And because we're not in those circumstances, worse circumstances, far worse circumstances, we should be very, very grateful. We can begin to list on both hands, on both feet, and several pieces of paper the things that we do not have to go through. And thus, things that we should be thankful for when it comes to life. Let's go back to the Smiths for just a second for an illustration. Should not this family have been thankful? Should not they have had gratitude that their children, even though they may need some tests and even though they may have needed to take out a loan for some things, items that they certainly would not have wanted to do, but thankful that their kids were not in a position where they had an incurable disease? They were not told that your son or your daughter is not going to reach the age of 12. That's not the news that they had. Sick, yes. You need some medical care, yes. And it's going to cost some more money, yes. But you're not like the people that have some other issues with children. They were not like the people who lacked transportation. They didn't have a vehicle to get to the doctor. That was not their circumstance. They didn't lack a home. They didn't lack daily food. They were not out of work. They still had income coming in. The cell phone that they had may not have been the latest and greatest, but they still had that technology. They could have been grateful to God that their family was not like tens of thousands of others, sick, broken, or at risk. You know, thankfulness is really one of the easiest things that we can achieve if we'll just retool our minds just a little bit. Someone breaks the leg and we hear the complaints. Oh, the pain is terrible and I've just never had anything like this before. I'd like to suggest that even with a broken leg, and hopefully God doesn't let me have one of those later today because of this. But anyway, even with a broken leg, you know, there are some things that we can be thankful for. Thank God it's not this. And we can just fill in the blank with some other medical condition. If our copay goes from $5 to $50, thank God that it didn't go up to $500. Thank God that we can still pay that bill, even though that may take some money from some other things. If we have a child who maybe gets sick on a regular basis or is sick for a couple of days, thank God that that sickness is not a lifelong problem. It's temporary. If we've got to leave behind a job for a less desirable job, thank God that we still have employment. Thank God that we're not like people who lack employment. Our appreciation can also be extended to where we live. We should be grateful that we live in a country where we don't have to face some of the things that people elsewhere need to experience. Now, I'm the first to say, America is not a perfect nation. We have a lot of problems. But you know, imagine existing and imagine trying to get through life in a country where disease is rampant. People are dying in the streets and little medical care exists. Imagine living in a country, and there are places like this on the earth, where electricity comes and goes throughout the day. You go to turn on the lights and you know that between perhaps hours 8 to 5 and maybe between 7 and 9, you're not going to have any electric. No electric for your well. No lights. No internet access because it is so sporadic. Thank God that we're not in those kinds of places. Thank God that we live in an area where we're not called on to live lives where we lack fresh water. Thank God that we're not in a country where, even though our courts sometimes have some issues, we're not in a place where we have almost no access to courts and justice. Thank God that we're not in a country where we have a ruler, a dictator, who is able to do what he or she wants without little consequence. Compared to the circumstances that others live under, when we look at the things that we don't have to experience, the things that we don't have to endure, we have many, many blessings. In fact, I go so far to say that we can, as we look at our country, our time and our lives, there is a sense in which every day in America should be Thanksgiving Day. Several years ago, I was in a very poor country. And I've seen some things in overseas places that are sad. And the image that I saw on this day, it was probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, has stuck with me for many years. There was an old man. And by their standards, I mean, he was old. He probably was in his mid-60s. So for us, that's still just kind of past middle age. But in this culture, he was definitely on the latter end of things. And I'm guessing that he wanted to make some money. So his job was to take, my best description for it would be something like a pair of shears. Old, worn-out technology. Get down on his hands and knees and in a very large area, trim grass by hand. There were a series of rocks. The path there was very uneven, and it was very hard work. It would have been very hard for a young person, let alone someone that was at his time in life. And ever since I saw that image, I go back sometimes, I kind of put that in my mental filing cabinet, and sometimes I pull out that image. I'm not, you may or may not know this, I suspect that most do, but I'm not someone who gets a big thrill when it comes to yard work. When it's time to mow the grass, I don't just jump for joy and say, oh great, I get to go out and use the lawnmower. When it's time to clear the snow and rake the leaves, those are not the highlights of my week. But you know, when it's time to do those things, rather than complain, it's time to mow the grass again, it's time to rake the leaves, it's time to shovel the snow, I pull out that file of that man. That man who had virtually nothing as far as good work tools to work with. And the labor that was involved in trying to make what was probably a wage that we would say, those are just pennies. And as I think about my lot in life, I'm grateful that I'm not required to mow the grass without a lawnmower. or shovel snow without decent equipment, or try to get rid of leaves without a rake. When we think about our lives, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of things that, because of where we live, the time that we have, our circumstances in life, we get to avoid so many things. We can begin to list so many items that we're free from, exempted from, that if we were to look at these, I submit that even the most ungrateful person would be shamed into gratitude. God, thank you that I don't have to live like Lazarus. I may not think that my circumstances are always ideal. I might hope for a time when my circumstances will be altered so that my life might be even better. But God, with the things that I don't have to experience, you have, as I think about Luke 16, verses 20 and 21, you have blessed me with a life which is so far from that. I am one of the most blessed people who has ever lived in the history of the world. We are a blessed people from the negative side of things, that is, the things that we don't have to experience. And when we begin to put in the other aspect, that is, the things that we do have, we are literally, if we are even among the poor in this country, we are literally among the most blessed people that have ever lived on this planet. We should have so much to be thankful to God for every single day. And yet, for some reason, our nation, by and large, is a nation of ingrates. Thankful to God maybe one or two days out of the year. Thankful maybe when family comes together. Thankful for the job promotion. Thankful for this, thankful for that. But we should be on our knees every single day because of what God gives us and the things that we don't have to experience. Well, someone says, I am grateful. Well, that's good. But if we showed that gratefulness to God, have we looked at Him in belief and said, we believe you, we're thankful for what you've allowed us to have, we're going to turn our lives around and live for you, we're going to repent. And not only are we going to believe, and not only are we going to try to live in the right way, we're going to confess that you've sent your Son into the world to die for my sins. And God, to show you my appreciation, I'm going to leave behind the path of sin. I'm going to be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. I'm going to have every single sin washed away, Acts 22:16. I'm going to arise to walk in the newness of life, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. And I'm going to commit my life to you, to serving you to the best of my ability every single day. That's showing appreciation. That's using good sense when it comes to the spiritual part of life. And that's what we hope, we trust and hope you've decided to do. You become a Christian in the way prescribed in the Bible every single day. You're trying to walk in the light, live according to God's word, but also be appreciative. To show that gratitude to God for the things that we have and for the fact that there are some things, like we studied from Luke 16, 20 and 21, that we do not need to experience in life. Are we grateful? Are we showing it to God? Are we doing it every day? Those are the questions that we want to consider and answer in the right way as we stand and sing the selected song.